This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 17th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the BSE-infected cow in Alabama was at least 10 years old. That's good news. Senator Saxby Chambliss says he's pessimistic about success in the Doha round of the WTO, and the Secretary of Agriculture continues to insist private sector approaches to tracking livestock in the U.S. are the best solutions. Dave Dickey will have the details of these and other stories shortly. Hey, and make sure you stay with us past the bottom of the hour. That's when Steve Hilberg will join us today to discuss the agricultural weather right here in the Midwest. It all happens on this Friday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. May wheat at 357.5, up 4.75 today. July futures up 5.25 cents at $3.70. May wheat in Kansas City, 421.5. They were up 7.75 for the day. From the corn pit nearby May contract in Chicago at 221.5, down 3. July futures at 232.25, down 2.75. And September's 241.5, were down 2.75 for the day. December contract for the harvest month, 2.5 cents lower, at $2.53. Soy complex now, May beans, 576.5, up a quarter. July up 3/4 at 589. And the August soybeans at $5.93 were down 3/4. The November contract at 605.25. It finished down 3/4 for the day. From the products, the meal, May contract, 173.80, up 70 cents. May bean oil down 19 at 23.24. At the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished the March contract at $104.47.5. They were down 32.5. And the April live cattle at 83.02.5 were down 40 cents. April lean hogs, $59.10, finished 67.5 cents higher for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Todd, what's green and goes 200 miles an hour?
I have no idea.
A leprechaun and a blender.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
You too, buddy.
You got your green on?
Absolutely not.
I do, but I'm not going 200 miles an hour, at least not yet. I might be, though. Hey, speaking of going fast, we kind of looked at this market this week, and we talked a great deal about wheat as we went through the week, and you have long said that wheat has been leading the market. And despite the fact that it was up a nickel today, that's a little, it doesn't really reflect what happened for the week. The May contract down 17 cents in Chicago. That's, of course, on a new lead contract. So it was the March last week when it went off, when we got to the Friday. But the
right.
July contract is off 23.5 from last Friday's settlement price, despite the fact that it managed a 5.25 cent rally today.
Right. And that, you know, the corn was down 9 to 13 cents and the beans were down, you know, 9 to 13 cents as well. So, yeah, we still think it's the leader. You know, the thing about the wheat that we're probably going to have to deal with here as we get in the acreage report is we've got a foothold now. I talked to Chicago before we came on the air. There was some short covering. There was even some reports that maybe Deutsche Bank was in for some December futures on the close. But a lot of the reasoning seemed to stem from the eastern areas of the southern plains being more favored, and Kansas missing a lot. I read a statistic that is really something. It just has to rain to satisfy the traders if these statistics are being looked at in Chicago, and we think they are, Todd. Dodge City, Kansas, has not had over half an inch of rain in a 24-hour period since October 19th of last year. So we think that wheat still is the leader because agronomically, what are you going to plant if your crop is dead in wheat? You know, what are these guys going to do? So that's going to affect your acreage in the spring crops. And the other thing goes back to is what are you going to feed your cattle if you don't have wheat coming off of dormancy? And that means you're going to have to put more in the lots, and you're going to have to feed a lot more corn than you were expecting. And you might even see corn move a lot more out of the Midwest down into the southern plains this year, you know, versus like a 3 or 5 year average, because it's such a unique issue. So when it comes to the funds, when it comes to the dollar making a 7 week low, and when it comes to these rain events, if they don't happen, yeah, we still think wheat's the leader.
You really think that corn will be put in where those wheat acres get torn up, or is that a sorghum crop potential?
Our guys are saying more milo. I've got a guy that's got 3,000 acres of wheat north of Amarillo, Texas. He's in the heart of where those fires are at, and he said, you know, I'm almost thinking about going into cotton. He said it's a long-term venture, but in terms of irrigation costs and how much per acre, it is so much reduced to irrigate and to grow cotton in those areas. He's really looking hard at it to try and get his income up. And, you know, obviously his wheat acres are dry land, and, you know, he's just looking at a complete change in investment because of what he's been through the last 3 or 4 years.
Can you look at the wheat market and the fallback that we had and then the start of this little 5 cent rally that happened today and see technically that made some sense? Is it a Fibonacci fallback or something like that?
Yeah, you know, it did have some retracement value to it. I think the other thing goes back to when you look at the 375 level in July futures, we're now only 4 cents from that after today's high. That's going to be probably a key resistance level, at least psychologically. And then, like I was trying to get to, and I completely forgot what I was going to say, that the mindset in the market may be, well, we'll let you go up a little bit. Maybe we'll let you go through 375, but to get back to those old highs of $4 in Chicago, A, you better have demand on your side. B, you better have the weather on your side. And C, you better not have any wild card surprises in the acreage report, meaning a bigger, you know, soft red winter wheat crop above 19%, you know, planted acres, you know, versus last year. You got to be able to, you kind of almost have to feed the bull now that you've had this correction in the Chicago market, especially because we have seen such an improvement in our crop stands here with the moisture.
So it might be interesting to watch it. We could burn up a crop in the Southwest, have larger stocks on hand still on the globe, which USDA says is the case, and have more soft red winter wheat in the ground than we really think we do.
That's right, and we did an interview with the Dow Jones folks this week, and they were specifically asking about the Kansas City-Chicago wheat spread, and we said, you know, 96, we got up to around 80, 85 cents, and that was for a very brief time. In 2002, we got up to that same price level, even went higher than 96 in 2002 very, very briefly. And we're looking at that type of an extreme this year exactly because of what you laid out there.
Interesting. How's it play into the corn market then? I know the acreage thing will come into play potentially. What else is there?
Well, it's supportive because we think that the corn did pick up a lot of the fund liquidation. And we caught that again today. When we talked to Chicago, we said, what was the highlights in your minds? They said fund liquidation continuing even with the wheat turnaround. They've even talked about some commodity trading funds, not the index guys, but the commodity trading funds were even buying puts to offset some of their long futures, and that added kind of a weak tone as well. So a lot of it does go back to the wheat, we think, in terms of psychology and liquidation. But, again, we would go back to the longer-term picture in the market and say to our clients and the people who are listening, we would suspect that 248, 247 level in December corn is going to hold us going into the report, and unless there's a surprise, meaning we go over 80.5 million acres and we go up into the 81 or something crazy like 82 million, you've probably got a pretty decent support underneath you as long as the wheat holds, you know, in that December corn contract.
I thought it was kind of interesting as we looked at the numbers, and Dave Dickey figured these for me earlier on the weekly changes. And of course, we had expiration this week, so this is a March to May on the lead option contract, Friday to Friday settlement prices. The corn nearby dropped 4.5 cents, but the deferred corn dropped 9.75 cents this week. And it was the opposite under the same scenario for the beans, where they were down 16 in the nearby, but the noves were only off 9.5 cents.
Yeah. And that makes sense because before expiration of March, the May beans were able to fill or to come down and actually make a low at one point to be able to come in there and tie those two together. They didn't finish that way, but they did do it, you know, at a pretty decent for a decent time during the daily time period. So we had less to lose in terms of ground after the March beans went off the board. And, you know, I think it also goes back to this time of year. The producers aren't selling here in the United States, and the new crop in South America is coming on board, but it's not quite at the ports. It's not quite in full gear. They've had some rain delays, and maybe that brought some strength to the beans in the nearby for a brief time period, we think.
As we transition into the beans, lay it out just kind of flat for me. Wheat, corn, soybeans, neutral, bearish, friendly.
Well, on the beans, the nearby, we would have to give it neutral as long as the wheat holds up. We do think wheat's taking over the leadership again like it did 3 or 4 months ago. So we would give corn a neutral. We'd give wheat friendly. We'd give beans in the old crop a neutral look. We'd give the new crop a negative look. We have a lack of sellers in this market, and we actually have small specs coming in on these technicals, these short-term technicals. There's no one really there to oppose them. And so, therefore, it seems like we're able to keep the prices pretty stable, albeit we're on the low end of the range. We can't express to you, Todd, how seriously we feel like the weekly meal and the daily meal charts are really our key leading indicators, because they're the most overdone technically. They're the most negative given the bird flu and the slowdown in demand that we've seen in these reports for products. If anything's going to fall off the face of the earth in terms of price-wise, it would be the meal. But it has held up very nicely on its bottom of its ranges and on its support. So we look to that as our leader right now. If the meal turns lower and breaks support, then we would expect the beans to do as well. But it's quite feasible that in the short-term time period, the lead month, May, then the July, could pick up a little bit of small spec buying and bring some overbought conditions to the daily charts. Then maybe people would look at selling it, you know, more in earnest.
You know, as we talked about the Southwest and the wheat crop burning up there, we've often mentioned the fringe side, the spring wheat areas. Have you heard at this point whether they're actually have more drills rolling across many more acres there to pick up some of the slack that might be taking place in the Southwest, and whether those are coming out of bean acres?
I have not. That's a great question. Haven't heard anything, though.
Well, we'll have to see if somebody, when we get to Commodity Week this weekend, has put their ear to the ground on that one to see whether that might be the case. I know we've discussed it in the past. Daryl Good, by the way, will be our guest this weekend on Commodity Week. And we talk to Daryl often enough to know that he doesn't think acreage switches in large portions very often, so it'll be kind of fun to see what he has to say about that this week.
Well, you know, the big wild card with the beans seems to be the stocks report, because we were running at a pretty good clip as far as demand last year, and we chewed up around 40% of our stocks between the Deese report and the March 05 report. Obviously, we're not going to be at that level, so I think there's a lot of question marks in traders' minds up there as we get closer to the acreage and stocks report, how big a stocks we're going to end up having. So, and they're going to be watching to see if USDA's recent export cuts match up with the stocks as of March 1.
Speaking of stocks, can you tell me about stocks-to-use ratios on the global level?
We are looking at, boy, no, I don't have that in front of me.
That's
right,
okay.
Now. I think we're looking at around 23% on wheat and around 15%, 12 to 15% on coarse grains. And I think we're running almost at 24%. On the soybeans. I do know that our world stocks of beans are up 21% versus last year at this time.
And explain what those numbers mean.
Well, that's the supply after you already factor in the demand. So it's a little bit more important to us because you've already got demand factored in, and it tells the market, you know, how much exactly you have and how strong a pace you're chewing through it.
Anything to add on the mercantile exchange for the day?
Well, you know, we had a decent week there. We looked at the averages and the nets, and the cattle were only down 42 in the April for the week, and the hogs were only down 52 for the week. So we need to build upon this week's consolidation. We sure hope it's not a midpoint consolidation to go another leg lower. USDA did come out with a new livestock, dairy, and poultry report. We got through most of that before we talked to you. January hog exports were up 20% year-to-date. So we are getting the stuff out the door in the hog complex. And that's kind of nice. So we're hoping we're going to bring some fundamental bottoming here in the hog and cattle complex and, you know, watch the short-term technicals like the 10-day moving averages to see if that brings the funds back in next week.
Mike, I always enjoy our Friday afternoon conversation.
You're great to do it with us. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks much.
Yep, bye-bye.
Mike Zuzlow, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, joining us from his office there in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name is Steve Hilberg. AM 580's Ed Kieser forecast for the two-state region tonight calls for partly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 15 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 28 in the south. And tomorrow, Ed says, partly to mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 38 in the north to near 50 in the far south. The extended forecast for the two-state region. Sunday, mostly sunny. Monday, in the west central parts of Illinois, mostly cloudy, some rain and snow arriving late in the day. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA said Thursday evening that government experts have confirmed an earlier estimate that an Alabama cow proven positive for mad cow disease was at least 10 years old. If a BSE-infected cow were to be shown to have been born after the U.S. cattle feed safety rules were in place in 1997, that could cast doubt on the effectiveness of a key U.S. safeguard against spread of the disease in U.S. herds. The USDA also announced Thursday that it has located one offspring of the BSE-infected cow, a six-week-old calf that has been sent to USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratories in Ames, Iowa, for observation. Meanwhile, South Korea today says that resumption of limited imports of U.S. beef may be delayed until May, pending what it called scientific proof of the infected cow's age. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss delivered the keynote address yesterday at the National Press Club's National Ag Day lunch. Chambliss says he's pessimistic about the success of the Doha round of world trade talks.
Secretary and I visited this morning, and he gave me an update on the conversations that took place in London over the past weekend. Neither one of us are extremely confident about the fact that we're going to get a WTO agreement or the modalities will be developed before we reach the deadline of April 30th. I think it's going to be very difficult.
And USDA Secretary Mike Johanns agreed with that assessment.
I just think it's very difficult. I don't see the breakthrough yet that's going to bring us to modalities. I will say that doesn't mean it won't happen or it can't happen. We are much further along, certainly, than we were 6 months ago. But this thing needs to spark here pretty quickly, or I think we're going to have a tough time getting the Doha round done in 2006.
Johanns was also quizzed on the subject of a national animal ID system. Johanns continued to insist that a private sector solution is the best approach. A panel of scientists are meeting in Washington today to consider whether a compound found in soy-based milk is harmful to babies. As many as 20% of infants in the U.S. are fed soy formula, and it accounts for about $4 billion in sales annually. Medical officials experimenting with mice say the compound retards development of ovaries and increases the possibility of kidney stones or thyroid disorders. Newly appointed Risk Management Agency Administrator Eldon Gould, an Illinois producer, testified before the House Ag Subcommittee on General Farmed Commodities and Risk Management this week. Gould says the highest levels of crop insurance don't match the 95% payout for losses deemed by the federal government as natural disasters, and that's a problem.
With today's farming margin as tight as they are, it probably takes 100% coverage to adequately cash flow. I'm not sure that anybody in the insurance business wants to guarantee 100% coverage. At the same time, I'm not sure Congress wants to provide disaster payment for everything that may fall between whatever the losses may be and what it would take to keep the producers whole.
Meanwhile, USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins blames low insurance participation for continued disaster requests that are averaging $1.5 billion a year.
A big part of that $1.5 billion is livestock assistance every year, and we are woefully inadequately covered under livestock. And that's something that we've been trying to address over the last couple of years, and we think we're going to make great progress over the next few years on livestock. So maybe there's hope somewhere down the road, but I really don't see it right now.
Collins says the USDA is working on new ways to deal with multi-year losses and low coverage of livestock. And a survey from Farm Futures magazine says U.S. growers say they will cut corn plantings this spring and instead devote more acres to soybeans. Growers report they plan to plant 2% fewer acres of corn while boosting bean seedings by 4.5%, that compared with a year ago. Projected nationwide, that suggests corn plantings of 80.1 million acres this spring compared to 81.8 million a year ago, and soybean plantings could reach 75.4 million acres, up from 72.1 million in 2005. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. On that program this week, Daryl Good will join us. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time for Commodity Week, or you can pick it up off the website tonight just after 6 o'clock at willag.org.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Boster, the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about your area and what kind of movement has not been happening maybe this week.
Movement has been pretty muted, as one would imagine, looking at down 15 cents flat price on corn and 13 cents on beans since last Friday. It's been pretty quiet around here. Basis-wise, really very little reaction in the rail market. Processor side looks pretty quiet. The river's seen some gains. That rain's giving us more water in the river has helped them sink the barges down to a little deeper draft. Barge freight has been getting cheaper, the lack of movement. So we've seen barge freight down 30 to 40% in the last week or so here on the Illinois River. Looks like that basis improvement has generated a little bit of interest in hedge grain here, and if we haven't seen a lot yet, it's not very far away. I think there's kind of a surge of hedge corn, truck corn sitting tributary to the Illinois that would move somewhere with a 2 to 4 cent basis rally.
Any early farmers in the field doing a little field work? Not certainly planting, I wouldn't think. But
enough rain around last Monday that things are pretty muted here yet, but it won't be long now. Things will be changing in a hurry.
And what are farmers feeling like they'll be putting in the ground? Have you talked to them enough in the area to know whether they'll be putting more corn acres or bean acres in?
Oh, I probably don't have a real good handle on that yet. I would say, you know, where I was at north of Springfield, we were going to see a little bit more corn go in the ground, but not a radical shift. I get a feeling that some of the big swings will be more in the periphery of the Corn Belt rather than in central Illinois.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at $2 at Paxton tonight and $5.53 on the beans.
We appreciate you, Blaine, joining us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The judge hearing the murder trial of Maurice Legrone Jr. says a statement made by the mother of the children Legrone is accused of drowning can't be heard by jurors until after she testifies. Judge Stephen Peter says the statement Amanda Hamm gave police at the hospital after her children were pulled from Clinton Lake in 2003 won't immediately be allowed at Legrone's trial. But Peters decided today that other statements Hamm made to friends and relatives may be admitted. Governor Mitch Daniels has signed legislation that will establish a military relief fund to provide grants to the families of Indiana soldiers who have been called to active duty since 9/11. The governor says it's a way to say thank you to the bravest of the brave. Illinois State Senator Bill Brady says he wants an apology from one of his Republican gubernatorial opponents. Brady says he sent a letter today asking businessman Jim Oberweiss to apologize for saying that Brady failed to stand up against business tax and fee increases sought by Governor Rod Blagojevich. Legislative records show that Oberweiss was citing a vote that took place early in the legislative process before any taxes or fee increases were involved. Brady voted against the bill after it was amended. An Urbana nonprofit group that works on using fresh air and airtight construction to heat homes is giving the public a look at its techniques. The Ecological Construction Laboratory, or Ecolab, says its practices cut down extensively on heating costs. The agency is hosting a wall-raising ceremony tomorrow afternoon on its first home, located at 1005 West Fairview in Urbana. Chicago's former city clerk has pleaded guilty to taking up to $48,000 in payoffs under a city program that awarded hauling jobs to trucking companies. James Lasky pleaded guilty to one count of bribery, and the government agreed to drop two bribery counts and an obstruction of justice count. Sentencing is set for May 25th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign County and across the Midwest, joins us to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast. Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Todd. How it's going?
I'm doing very well. Tell me about this weekend, what kind of weather we might have, and tell me a little bit about those storms last week, too.
Well, a lot to talk about. This weekend should be fairly tranquil, cool, cooler than normal, but fairly quiet around the Midwest. Unlike last weekend, as you alluded to, where we had two rounds of severe weather here in Illinois, one on Saturday and then one again, the big one, on Sunday. The result of that, of course, we all heard about the tornado out near Springfield from a storm that actually started in northern Oklahoma and ended up, by the time it was all over, in southern Michigan, one particular storm, and that's the one that spawned the tornado. So pretty impressive in that regard. The other impressive thing the last week or so was all the rain that fell in Illinois. The entire state got plenty of rain. Virtually, the drought conditions that have been developing over the southeastern part half of the state have pretty much been wiped away by all the rain. Of course, we even heard there were some flooding problems because of several inches of rain. Across the north, they also got a couple of inches of rain, but, of course, the situation there is a little more dire in terms of the drought. It was more severe up there, so it's going to take a little more rain to wipe that out. But the bottom line is, as of right now, virtually all of Illinois and even most of Indiana has already their normal March precipitation.
And the longer range forecast came out, as we know, from the National Weather Service yesterday. What was your take?
Well, it looks like things are generally going to be it's just really difficult this time of year to really put a finger on things. We're, again, in what they call equal chances climatology for both temperature and precipitation for the next month for April, which basically says there's no skill in the outlook at this point for this part of the country. They can't really pick out a trend one way or the other.
Yeah, and are you
over the next couple of days, it looks pretty wintry-like.
Are you looking at it enough that you can tell us what might the southwest forecast look like on those 30s and 90s?
On the southwestern U.S.?
Yeah.
It looks like in general, that over the next month, it appears like it's, again, April, there's not much skill over the country. In fact, there's only a couple areas that are show any trend one way or the other, temp or precip. At the three-month outlook, it looks like still a fairly dry pattern in the central and southern plains and southwestern U.S., and also warm. So it looks like conditions out there probably might see a little bit of improvement, but may not last very long.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Just watch out for next week. Looks like we could have a little bit of touch of winter.
Thank you much. We appreciate it. And that's Steve Hilberger. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here in Champaign County. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.